The Mini Golf Podcast, sponsored by Abode Homes. Live inspired. Discover more online at abode.homes. Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Mini Golf Podcast. I'm Mark Chapman and I'm joined as usual by Steve Lovell.
Oh, Lovell. Have you been chatting to Richard Gottfried? Good evening all, good evening.
And by Philippa, no nickname, Rose.
Hello.
It's been a whole month since the last episode, so what's been going on? It's now been 120 plus days since social distancing began in the UK. Pubs and restaurants reopened on the 4th of July. Pub gardens in summer became a reality, but this still couldn't be claimed yet as our Independence Day from COVID-19. Face masks have been a strangely divisive issue in society, with compulsory wearing of them in shops about to come into force. But will anyone enforce this? Perhaps the force should have his say. I believe the police force should be forced to enforce this forcible law in foresight. How many forces can you fit into a paragraph? Unbelievable. Who writes this rubbish?
How long did that take?
So, there have also been some Russian cyber attacks on COVID vaccine research, or were they just hacking into the secrets of the UK's top mini golfer, Michael Smith, to improve on their own world standing? Not even Putin could be that evil, surely. In other news, Liverpool have won the Premier League. Kanye West is running for the presidency, apparently. Of what or where, I don't think he even knows. Could it be for the World Mini Golf Federation? Gerhard has my vote. Rumour has it that Johnny Depp and Amber Heard have taken their anger out on each other over a competitive game of mini golf. Beware, that volcano might blow at any moment. No need to lose one of your fingertips and be taken to trial. Just relax and breathe. Here we are for your listening pleasure. We hope you enjoy listening to the latest episode of this, the Mini Golf Podcast, bringing direct to your ears, you, the usual light, entertainment, whatever situation you currently find yourself in. So I'm going to start with a question, and that is, with many mini golf courses now open again around the UK, what has been your experience when visiting? Let's chuck that open to Philippa first of all today.
Ooh. Well, I've been with you to Hastings twice now. That was good fun. Not too bad, actually. That was our first trip to a mini golf course, and it was really quite busy. But
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was good fun.
And I mean, there was a queue, but they had the lines out on the floor and people observing 2 meter queuing distance. Not many masks being worn, though, but you are outside, and Hastings is very breezy and open. And all three courses were doing a roaring trade, which is lovely to see. Now school holidays as well, so you got all your families. I felt all right there.
Yeah, it seemed fine. I mean, we took our own stuff, so we didn't use any of the course kind of ball or putters.
Yeah.
But it seemed really good.
At the end of a round, they had a big bucket, so you could put your clubs in after you'd finished, and they were had a member of staff at the end of every course collecting the balls in a box. So it looked like they're being really responsible and aware of what kind of their responsibilities were, which is great. Signs on the course saying don't move to the next hole until, you know, it's clear. And the holes are a decent length and construction, kind of, it's a inbuilt one-way system. So it all looked really good. So no, that was a good experience. I say really positive to see people outside playing a game together as families or small groups. One rule though, this could be controversial for you. Steve can comment on this. They've changed the playing rules so that everyone tees off first. So it's not player one plays out and then player two plays. They want everyone teeing off before playing because they think it will speed up the game.
It's the crazy, crazy rules.
It is the crazy, crazy rules. I raised an eyebrow when I was told this. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, firstly, has Philippa now got her own putter?
No. Well, borrowed a golf one, which is right-handed because all of Mark's stuff is left-handed.
It's my mum/sister's proper golf putter, so no rubber face.
Yeah. Right. So their thinking is that if all balls are in play, it's going to speed up, which
depends who you play with.
Yeah. Obviously, because no one's blocking each other off, no one's whacking each other's ball out of the way. Never happens.
Never.
Never ever happens. It's tough because who are we to say what a business does? But I mean, obviously they've got a window at the clubhouse or where you hand the balls in, and sure they must have seen the crazy round over the years. Where I mean, I don't know about you, crazy, but I reckon probably it could. You know, I'd say probably 15 of the holes, the crazy round, nothing happens. Nothing exciting happens. But there's two or three holes where, you know,
everyone's in the same corner.
Yeah, you're in the same corner. You're in each other's line. This happens with, I played with Passy in the crazy round a few years ago. And it's what the year he finished second. And on the plateau hole on 14, he put his ball about 3 inches from the hole. And my ball was 6 inches from the hole, but it was directly in line with his ball. So it was a look on Pashy's face because, you know, obviously second place is a big deal.
So panic.
He couldn't look. So what I did, I topspin my ball onto his ball. His went in. And then mine went in as well. So, you know, hey. I had two, he had one. So I just looked at him and said, I know how you're doing. I couldn't do it to you. So,
I'm not sure there'll be much of that with the general public playing, though.
Oh, the general public haven't got a clue of the rules, have they?
So, I reckon they were just putting my leg in the heart. They just wanted to see my face.
if that can't be genuine.
It's genuine. I 100%.
I reckon I've got more chance of beating you if you're playing first, we're playing the crazy rules, and I just have to aim for your ball.
If I don't ace
not
it.
Not the hole. Yeah.
I don't know. Caddy won't like those rules, I think.
Yeah.
We'll see. Maybe it's an enforced decision by management.
I've diplomatic me says I'm not a fan.
No, I'd go with you on that.
See, I thought that was the rules normally anyway before I met you and
before you read a scorecard, you mean?
Well, I just thought that was how you played it.
Yeah, well, most people, you know, that's how we define kind of crazy golf as well. All the balls in play.
Yeah.
Anyway, have you visited Peterborough obviously recently? Have you had a chance to visit anywhere else?
Apart from what we discussed previously in terms of when I went to Hunstanton and Worthing, it's just been Peterborough because obviously I've got my tournament end of August. Peterborough reopened first Saturday in July, and I was first through the door. So
queuing.
Nice to see.
Queuing at the door, cap in hand.
At 6 a.m. Yeah. Like you're what waiting for the next Boxing Day sale.
Like a Glastonbury ticket release.
Yeah. So it was nice to see the young, they got a young lad who's been working there. He's been doing his A-levels, Jamie.
Was he late? So,
sorry?
Was he late?
No, he was actually on time this time. Well done, Jamie.
Excellent.
So it was good to see and catch up, and then I went out and played for a bit there. And last time I went up was a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to go up this week again. So, but the main proviso of going up now is with my tournament at the end of August. I want to make sure that it's as safe as it possibly can be. A lot of the first half hours, just getting an idea of rough capacity. That I mean, you've been to Peterborough. The back fence from hole two to hole six is quite long. So those fence panels are 10 feet. I reckon you can get about 25, 26 people safely down that back fence. And that's not including the people who are actually playing. So I think you could easily get, you know, providing, you know, people sort of stick to where they're supposed to safely stand, you'd easily get 40 to 45 in, not a problem.
Were there many public there whilst you were playing?
No, I generally pick and choose my times where I don't actually get to meet people, and it's fantastic. So I generally go when it opens. So just as I open the door, I'm in, put my bag down, go for a look around. So the first couple of weeks, there was a lot of white spam in the first hour and a half, 2 hours. And then last time I went, I only stayed an hour, but there was no one to come in that first hour. But yeah. a lot of their business at Peterborough is sort of that kind of that pre-lunch, post-lunch kind of session. So they do get busy then.
People come, don't they?
The first couple of hours.
It's at the back of the garden centre, so they probably come for an afternoon tea and then a little potter around and a play.
Pretty much, yeah.
Which is lovely.
So yeah, that's been my experience. I mean, they've got all the health and safety bits in there. They limit at the moment the public to 24 people playing.
Okay.
And it's every other hole. So it seems to be. I mean, obviously, I haven't been there when it's been busy, but I mean, by all accounts and what I've heard from the Simon and Roger, and it's going really well there.
Good.
People are coming back to play, and they're open 7 days a week now, which is good.
Yeah.
We've done Margate as well, haven't we?
Yeah, Margate down by the coastline there, Westbrook Bay.
Lovely.
Again, busy pretty much from opening time. They open at 10 a.m. in the morning and they close sort of 4-ish. Steady traffic. I think they're doing better midweek than they would normally do at this time of the year, just because so many people haven't gone away on holiday. So they're staying around. So I think all the courses are benefiting massively at the moment, and are able to sort of do a roaring trade. Now the schools are on holiday again, that's only going to increase. And again, as we get deeper into summer, when people have to take leave suddenly, I think you'll find them going to places like Margate, Hastings, Brighton, Eastbourne, these types of places, and finding mini golf as being one of a few activities that's probably, you know, open and allowed to take, you know, to take part. Amusements are open as well in these places now, but very strict sort of entrance and exits clearly marked, and people on the doors. They're like daytime nightclubs, the way that they're bounced at the moment. It's quite remarkable.
No chance of a tatting championship then, is there?
No shaking of machines allowed. They'll jump you.
We'd never be allowed that again.
So we've alluded to the fact that there are some events happening, but starting with recent events, normally we wouldn't have anything to talk about. We finally do, though, because Sunday, the 26th of July, saw competitive mini golf in the UK return with the Welsh Mini Golf Club's very own Dragon Classic at Fontegary. And this saw Seve Kukielka continue his run of club event wins with a dominant display against 14 others on the South Wales coast. So we're back up and running. Courses are having events now. It would have been the English Open as well in Nottingham, we can say. But that looks possibly being rescheduled for later in the year. I think Sunday, 15th of November, has been mooted. But we'll hopefully see that confirmed. Obviously, the next events on the calendar, the UK 2020 season's restarted now in August with the Cambridgeshire and Essex Mini Golf Clubs Open and British Doubles doubleheader event at Dunton Hills, Essex, on the weekend of the 15th and 16th of August. A full field for the doubles event of 16 pairs. That's going to be great on a tricky course. I'm going to be there playing for the first time in the doubles since, 2012, something like that. So I've got a new partner and a team name to think up. Suggestions welcome on the Mini Golf Podcast Facebook page.
Give us a few minutes. I'll come up with something.
Keep them clean.
I won't.
And we've got your very own Sussex Wass Open at Peterborough Mini Golf on Sunday the 30th of August. Again, entries being taken on Facebook, or again, I'm sure you can find a way to contact Steve. What else we got? We got the Midlands Open at Four Ashes Golf Centre on Saturday, the 5th of September. That's currently taking entries. One downside, though, the British Open at Hastings Adventure Golf on the 19th and 20th of September, that's been postponed. It's currently in doubt and possibly cancelled just because Hastings Adventure Golf can't host us on that weekend anymore, obviously due to all the lost business they've had over the Easter period, which is completely understandable. We'll see what happens with that one. We'll give that time, and when we have news, we'll let you know.
Thoughts on that overall is, I mean, as much as we want to play, we have to understand that the courses are businesses, so they have to run it as a business. And potentially, I mean, when you look at the third weekend in September last year, it was absolutely scorching down in Hastings.
It's hit and miss, isn't it? You're either in a heat wave or it's the start of autumn.
I bet if the forecast is heavy rain that weekend, we'll immediately get the call. Do you want to come on my plane now?
It's a bit like the World Crazies weekend this year. I looked out the window. It was absolutely awful in the weekend. And I looked out, I said, just as well, really. it was absolutely horrible weekend when we should have been down there in Hastings. So in a weird way, fingers crossed that weekend's a complete washout and we can cross that one off. We also had the BMGA Executive Committee elections, and we had a result there with James Rutherford getting duly elected into post. Brief mention again to Simon Brown and Paul Tutt, who were running mates. It's brilliant to see people get involved, and I hear almost a full membership voted in that, which is superb. Very important for a small organisation like ours for people to be involved. So well done, everyone. Good luck. We come to that time where we're going to play a game.
Oh,
I know. And the game is Guess My Balls, everyone's favorite monthly jaunt at a little journey now that staycation's all the rage into my ball bag. And what is on the menu today, I hear you ask? Just a quick reminder of the rules. I select a ball from my bag and Philippa has to describe it and Steve has to guess it. 100% record, matey. What's at risk? So I have the ball here.
Okay.
I'm just going to pass it to Philippa now. There you go. And what are your first impressions of that for Steve?
I can see I'm going to have an issue with the colour here. I reckon that's like a pinky red. It's pinky to me, but it is kind of red, I reckon.
Size?
It is small, I think. I think I might be wrong on this. I think it's unlacquered.
Very good.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a raw ball. Okay. That means that it's not been lacquered. It's not a smooth or rough texture.
Raw-like.
Very, very raw.
I can't read any of the writing on it, though, can I?
No. They're the other tests you can perform.
Okay, right. I won't tell you what's on it, but you ready for the bounce?
Go for it.
That's quite bouncy.
It's still going.
That was, I think, the bounciest ball we've done so far. We can do it again. That's not going to stay on the table.
Bounced so much, it's bounced off the coffee table towards the fireplace, and it's actually
down the stairs,
off the fireplace, back under the coffee table and under my feet. There we go.
We've got it. We've retrieved it.
Okay. Right. Okay. Pinky kind of red colour, lots of bounce. So there's...
See, now
I've got to,
now that I've
got
read something, it's definitely more pink than red.
Okay.
Oh.
Might give you a clue.
Right. In that case, I am going to go for the pinky diver.
It is.
Boom!
It is the...
Turbo...
Yeah, okay. Turbo OK. So it's got an OK symbol, and it's by Reisinger, and it is the Pinky Diver. Now, it's slight curveball because normally people find he's in a medium size. So I've got the small size one there, which may have put you out slightly. But no, you did it.
I too own that ball. So
you see,
I do. I actually won mine at the when I first started playing. I didn't play for about the first 6 months, but over the Christmas period, 2013, there were lots of little get-togethers, and there was one up at Sid Cup, and Tiger was giving away one of those balls, so like, you had to play. You had to play the round with everyone. Was, like, had like a Pinky Diver in
turbo ball, yeah, ridiculously bouncy joke ball, and he played these turbo rounds that were a bit of a joke at the end of the day.
Yeah,
is it so actually any good for anything? Like, would
it's good for bouncing?
Is there a course with a hole that you'd use this on?
There's a few.
I certainly would use it on the skull hole on the Pirate.
Oh, but maybe not anymore.
But the hole has changed slightly. Yeah.
They've moved, haven't they?
Yeah, they put an annoying little public friendly, when you put the ball in the hole, it plays a sound. So they kind of dug it out and shifted it in. So I think it's kind of a golf ball hole now. But no, something super bouncy. There's another hole at the Pirate, isn't there? There was the one, what's it, hole 8 or 9, the one, the double rebound?
Yeah, off the back wall.
Off the left-hand side wall past the
water. Yeah, hole 8. Yeah, hole 8.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So you're looking for, when you want to bounce off multiple surfaces, so not just a single rebound, if you want to bounce off like the left wall, the right wall, the back wall, you need something, because every time it bounces, it loses pace. Okay. So that's the purpose of these turbo balls.
It sounds like there's too many angles in that.
Well, if you want to do multiple rebounds, you need a ball that's gonna last. So you need a fast ball, a turbo ball, and that's one of the in fact, that is the fastest I've got in my bag. I don't know about you. This is an 80 bounce, I think, 80 centimeters when dropped from a meter.
I think my turbo is I think my Pinky Diver is an 85.
Mm.
It's one of those ones. It's just that I've tried when I was doing the putt at home, putting it downstairs. I thought, oh, I'll go and have a laugh. Put the Pinky Diver off down the stairs,
out the window.
I lost it for about 35 minutes. I couldn't find it.
Off the wall, off the roof.
Yeah. It's like that bit in when Jim Carrey first puts on the mask and he bounces off all the walls.
Quality ball. Tiger's favourite ball. So there we go. 100% record at Guess My Balls. Congratulations, Steve.
Toughest one so far, I think.
Oh, okay. Right. No. I'm really going to screw you next time.
Is it an EFO 2?
What, you mean that green spotty ball? listeners' corner. We put the siren out for you, the listener, to answer to ask us anything, basically. To do this, you've got to send us a message through our Facebook page, the Mini Golf Podcast. Nothing, silence. I think people are still drunk from the lockdown, so we'll pass on that this week. But again, we want people to ask questions. Hopefully people will be more involved now that the prospect of playing is around the corner. So yeah, please do. Any mini golf related questions or not, keep it clean. We are a PG rated show, officially actually on Apple, on the Apple Podcasts.
PG? Yes. How disappointing.
We're not explicit. I don't have to tick that box whenever I put the episode in. Yes, there we go. Haven't had a sweary guest yet. Stubbed my tongue.
Ain't over yet.
Putt 18 has been taking place. I believe the second round of this world tour has taken place, has concluded now. So, Steve, you're heavily involved in this. Can you give us a quick roundup?
Yeah, it's so we started. We've done two weeks now. It's every other week, and you get to putt from any time from Wednesday 8 o'clock in the morning to Sunday 8 o'clock at night in your own time zone. So we've got people from America, Great Britain, Australia, and New Zealand. So the actual time difference, if you're putting in in Central Time in the USA, you are 17 hours behind New Zealand, which is it's quite fascinating that people can actually get up and watch other people putt around the world. And the first week, there was a lot of nerves because people are filming themselves live and you've got 20 minutes to do four rounds. It's very nerve-wracking because, you know, people are watching you around the world. They're not in the house, but you're very consciously aware that if you look across at your phone, you can see how many people are watching. It's nervy. And then the second week, all the scores went down and it was brilliant to watch. I mean, there was some amazing performances. Dave Gom was... absolutely phenomenal. It's just
could you see it this time? Was there any glare? Could you see it this time?
It's like the Jesus facing outside his window. But he was absolutely incredible. Dave has always he's actually got a very good consistent stroke for this. His judge of pace is very good, so he had a 59, which is the British record. He's beaten Taken Out for me, so gutted about that.
Good going, Dave.
Dave was very good, and then we had a lot of fun and games over the weekend. Gary Schiff from America, his ball rolled off the end of the mat and ended up going underneath his refrigerator, and. he spent about
putt at home problems.
He spent about a minute looking for it. Of course, it's eating into his time, and there's me sitting there scoring his round, thinking he's going to come out in a minute, isn't he? He's here in a minute. And we had some drama the weekend because I was watching Matt Ansley in New Zealand do his live, and I can verify pretty much all his scores, and they. His family do their own scores, and they sadly forgot to press the share button after they'd done it, so they lost all their live feed. So it was a case of like, okay, have people witnessed this? And then people were honest and say, look, so and so scored that in the first round, that in the second round, and it was correlating with what they had. So we had to make a judgment on that. So it was actually quite exciting. It was a lot of very good scoring going on. And it, you know, the standard is exceptionally high. Even little Cameron Finch, who's 10, 11 years old, I mean, he started off with a 65. I was thinking, where's this going to end? He's like, how old is he? So it's added walk on music this week, which was fun.
There we go. No walk on girls with the round boards yet.
No, social distancing, Mark. Come on.
Oh, okay. Sorry. My mistake. So any other notable performances? So you said Matt in New Zealand. We got Dave Gom.
Yeah, there was John Ansley. He was one of the ones who lost his live feed. But I got woken at 5:30 on Sunday morning by a message just saying, have you seen John's 58? I was like, oh, hang on a minute. All of a sudden, I mean, I was quite asleep. All of a sudden, I'm quite awake. It's like, where's this video? And sadly, it's not there. But we had someone watching it and verifying these scores happen. So it's sad for them. The Angies felt terrible. But, I mean, they're an honest family. And the beauty of actually having refereed a lot of this and scored a lot of this and watched pretty much everyone is the honesty. The people that are playing the line balls and everything else. You're very aware that people are watching you, so with your camera angle coming down onto the mat.
God, you mean? Yeah. God is watching everything you do.
God is watching.
Just passing so those little magnets underneath the mat.
Yeah, or the little grooves they've cut underneath. Positioned it so the grouting bit of the tile is just where you want it.
I thought when you said God is watching, I thought you were going to break out into Bette Midler's From a Distance.
maybe in a podcast extra.
Yeah. But the honesty of everyone who's playing... I mean, a lot of people are taking the highest score if they're not sure.
Yeah.
Which is, that's been a really, really pleasing aspect. And everyone is doing it for the right reasons. They're enjoying it. And the messages we're getting back are really, you know, with myself, Alan Cox, Nathan Lamplew, and Matt Ansley are the committee, along with Glenn Palmer, who's the guy who runs Putt 18. It's, the support we've been getting from everyone doing this has been great. And, there's already talk of season two, and
that's fantastic.
More people looking to take part. So, yeah, it will grow, hopefully. You never don't know where it's going to end. That's the beauty.
Mm. Yeah, and again, because it's truly global, kind of as this whole COVID situation evolves and different areas of the world get hit at different times, it's nice to have something constant that people can do no matter what sort of state their country is in at the moment. So
yeah,
it's really nice to have set that kind of up now, so it's always available for people if they wish to join in. So well done everyone that's taking part in the UK, well done New Zealand, well done in America, well done in Australia. I think that's the world covered, unless I've missed any nation. Are there any Canadians doing it? Not yet.
Not at the moment. I mean, I know there are people who've expressed an interest to do the next season already. Which is great. I mean, we've got seven rounds altogether. So we've done two, we've got another five. So that's going to be another 2 months or so.
Brilliant.
And then there'll probably be a break for a bit before we start season two. But it's, people are doing it for, as I say, the right reasons. And looking at what one of the Dutch mini golfers, Jarno Bottenberg, he's a very good darts player, and he's organised a lot of online darts tournaments.
So it's in the same vein.
It's exactly the same. It's been quite inspiring to see how they've run it to how we're running it. So it's we've taken a lot from that, and it's still teething. There's still little things we could iron out. There's still little things we could maybe do better. But we've only been doing it two weeks, so
it's a good start.
Yeah,
brilliant. So is there any other business? We're coming to the end of a podcast. So something that you'd like to talk about, Philippa?
No, nothing from me.
Nothing at all. Oh, okay. Over to you, Steve.
I think I'm good. I'm kind of sat watching the playoffs at home at the moment. But yeah, I'm still getting over the fact that my little Brighton have signed Adam Lallana from Liverpool.
Has that gone through now? Free transfer?
Apparently, yeah. He's had his medical today, apparently. So.
Oh, so maybe not then.
Yeah.
Two knees? Yeah. No, you're out.
Yeah.
Anyway, it doesn't matter in the championship, does it?
I think if you look at the league table and it's finished, we're not Bournemouth or Watford.
Well, there we go. We'll review this at the end of next season.
Okay.
May not be a long-term signing. We've got we've a couple of things on my side, things that I've noticed around the world. Holy Moly is happening in America at the moment, their second series, but also they were looking to branch out into Australia. I know Seven had bought the rights for it to do a sort of total wipeout style and fly people to the US site and film the Australian version over there. But due to COVID, that's not possible. So what they've decided is they're going to build one in Australia and film
Amazing.
It in Australia. So they're doing casting there at the moment. If you're interested, I know you can find information online to get involved. But they're planning to go ahead with that, but host it domestically. So maybe other production companies will have the same idea here in Europe, perhaps the UK. You know how these formats kind of spread around the world, like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and Total Wipeout. So, that's quite a nice development. And on the personal side, I've been elected onto a committee at world level in the WMF. I'm on a brand new development committee, and the purpose of that is to help come up with ways to kind of showcase the sport at these new multi-sport events and to aid developing mini golf companies, mini golf companies, in terms of their own domestic development and running competitions and things like that. So countries like Australia, New Zealand, Albania, Turkey, that are relatively new members of the WMF, we're looking to help grow that mini golfing family. So it's wonderful to have the opportunity to go and get involved in that for a change.
That's cool.
So Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. Yeah, so if there's nothing else, I think I'll wrap things up by saying thanks for listening to this episode, episode 11 of the Mini Golf Podcast. Please do subscribe to receive the latest episodes as soon as they're released via your podcast app of choice. Like and message us with your own questions via the Mini Golf Podcast Facebook page and spread the mini golfing love. That's goodbye from me. That's goodbye from Steve.
Yeah, bye.
And it's goodbye from Philippa.
Bye.
Goodbye. The Mini Golf Podcast, sponsored by Abode Homes. Live inspired. Discover more online at abode.homes.